Welcome back to the Ice World podcast. If you're joining us for the first time, we're still here on board the British Antarctic Survey's research vessel, the James Clark Ross. I'm your host, Nadia. The previous two episodes of this podcast have covered the last 4 weeks of transiting across the Atlantic Ocean. We left the UK in early November, and we've since resupplied two research stations, Bird Island and King Edward Point, located on South Georgia.
Mountains, the wildlife, sea, it's just everything is stunning.
Vicky, just arriving to KEP. This was a place that you lived in for 18 months over winter as a fisheries biologist. How does it feel to be back?
Absolutely amazing. I love this place. I think it's one of the most stunning places in the entire planet. Just coming into the bay and seeing the mountains and the glaciers in front of us, and then coming in to the harbour where we're about to moor up, seeing the penguins on the beach and the little elephant seals, it's just fills my heart with joy.
It is an absolutely incredible view. On the beach here, we've got king penguins and fur seals, kelp gulls, giant petrels, blue-eyed shags. Any other wildlife?
Don't forget the elephant seal wieners. They just lie on the beach, farting, burping, snoring all day long. Very sweet.
It's now December, and we're en route to Rothera Research Station on the West Antarctic Peninsula, stopping at the Coronation Islands on the way, home to another British Antarctic Survey research station, Cygni.
Now, we've just hit our first bit of weather since this trip. We're now rolling around in about 2.5 metre swells, so not too bad, but the boat is significantly rolling around. The swell is going to pick up over the next few days. Shouldn't bother us. We'll still be up top, and hopefully we should still see some more whales.
As we are approaching the Southern Ocean, the weather has been picking up, which has been rather exhilarating, especially when standing outside on the top deck. We experienced a few nights where I was convinced that I would actually slide out of my bed. The ship was moving so much. Hurtling through the waves, it was like a free roller coaster. As we crossed 60 degrees of latitude, we entered iceberg territory. I sat down with George Hale, the James Clark Ross's third officer, to talk about his role on the ship.
My watch is the 4 to 8, so I work from 4 in the morning till 8 in the morning, and then again from 4 in the afternoon till 8 in the evening, and do a little bit of safety duties in the time in between. Basically, you're in charge of the ship while you're on watch. You'll make sure your navigation is all good, make sure you don't hit any icebergs. But at the moment, sunrise is already up by the time I get on in the morning. Sunrise at the moment is probably about 3 o'clock, so it's daylight all the time, which is the best part. Yeah, definitely.
Easier to stay awake in the day than at night.
Yeah, you try to stay awake when you can.
How do you find life on the ship, George?
It's really the only job I've ever had. Started when I was 18. I'd started my cadetship. It's the only kind of working environment I really know. So I did a cadetship, similar to an apprenticeship on cargo ships, and got qualified when I was 22. I've been doing this ever since. After Rothera, we're going back to Falkland Islands, and then we'll be doing some more stops at bases. Eventually, we'll be picking people up and closing some of them down here at Cygni, for example. And we should be leaving around about February, if all goes well, and be back in the UK for March.
And George, finally, how do you stay entertained?
Yeah, I've got the radio station. Play a bit of music, guitar, you know, other than that, just reading. Socialising, yeah, that's good. It's a very nice social life on this ship, which is definitely something to be not taken for granted.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the light to get better. I'm anticipating considerable numbers of icebergs beyond this point.
How many have we got at the moment, would you say, if you had to take a rough estimation?
Could be easily 20 or more icebergs, nice big flat ones, nice triangular pointy ones.
That looks like a little hut, actually. It's pretty cool. And then we've also got inaccessible islands. They are some peaks that are about 20 metres high that are just jutting out of the plateau that we're currently sailing over, which is about 60 metres deep. Ed, is this the most amount of icebergs you've seen?
No, it is.
Where else have you seen icebergs?
I've seen icebergs in Greenland as well. So, yeah, but big plateau-y, like the big shelfy ones, it's the first time I've really seen this many of those.
And they're grounded probably on this shallow plateau. And there's almost like some little caves within the icebergs. It's absolutely gorgeous. Are you cold?
Fairly cold, yeah. Yeah.
What's your advice for taking a photo of an iceberg?
Get closer is generally the thing, and wait for a nice light. Yeah, it's a nice light. And also, if you're lucky enough to get a dark background, because then obviously your white iceberg's going to stand out a bit more. So in fjords, you get big cliffs and you get dark, still waters, so you get this contrast. And then occasionally in icebergs, you get the amazing blue bits as well.
So. Yeah, like we had seen some of them the other evening, the few icebergs that we've come across already, they have got quite a bluey underside.
This is your first iceberg?
This is my first proper iceberg sightings, wow. Apart from the odd stranglers we've seen the other day. So we've had killer whales this morning, Antarctic eco-types, and then icebergs erupted about an hour ago as we are coming into Sydney. Can't believe it, completely different landscape. The key photographer on board is yourself, yet you're standing here without a camera.
Yeah, I am, because I'm anticipating more icebergs. And this is also the balance with photography, is sometimes you've just got to enjoy what you're doing.
Yes. So
it's important not to be taking pictures all the time.
Wise words from Ed there.
Ed, could you just tell us about this photo session that you'll be giving us later?
We're just going to be talking through some quite broad fundamentals about photography, just so people have a bit more of an inclination into that side of things. So it's sort of the basics, but then hopefully not getting too trapped.
Will our subjects be icebergs today as we practice these photos, or will this be more of a theory session?
They could well be. Yeah, we'll see what happens with the light later on, see if it improves, see if it gets a little bit brighter.
Yeah.
But with icebergs, I mean, just talking about icebergs and there's actually seeing your first iceberg. So how does it feel?
Incredible. It feels like we're actually in Antarctica because now we're 60 degrees south. So this morning we hit the Antarctic convergence again. There's a massive drop in sea temperature. And then seeing lots of productivity, quite a lot of marine mammal activity this morning. Loads of birds, there's loads of Cape petrels flying around the boat. And then seeing the icebergs is just quite incredible. It completely changes the landscape when we're just sailing on vast oceanic plains for miles and miles, and then suddenly there's just millions of icebergs littering the horizon. What, millions, like 20.
When we reached Cygni Research Station, it was all hands on deck with unloading cargo. We waved goodbye to a small team of four, composed of only a summer field biologist, a field guide, a technician, and a station leader. We continued south towards what would be my final destination, Rothera, whilst passing through the Lemaire Channel. At 65 degrees of latitude, this narrow strait is characterised with steep cliffs and is often chock-a-blocked with icebergs, so we didn't know if we'd be lucky enough to pass through the channel, but we did, and what a pleasure it was.
Ryan, what marine mammals have we seen this morning?
This morning we've seen humpback whales and Antarctic minke whales. We've only seen three Antarctic minkes on this journey so far, and two were spotted this morning, so pretty cool. Much smaller than the humpbacks and the fin whales that we're used to seeing on this trip, so they're quite easily identifiable.
And now going through this very narrow strait, which is probably only about 300 metre wide, do you feel like you are living the Antarctic experience?
Oh, this is absolutely mad, this channel that we're going through. It's full of icebergs, full of brash ice, full of icy bergy bits, and the mountains either side of us are just towering well above our heads. The snow and the ice towards the bottom is just blue, just a royal blue colour.
We've seen a few seals on icebergs, you know, crab-eater seal, there's lots of penguins.
We've just gone past the schools of penguins that have been resting on icebergs.
We've had a lot of blows recently in quite a short succession. Within the last couple of days, we've had probably about 30 to 40 marine mammal sightings, which contrasts sharply to only a couple of sightings a day, if that, when we were going through the Bay of Biscay and then across the equator and into the southern Atlantic. So we've almost become accustomed to seeing whales all the time, even whilst sitting inside and waking up and looking out of our window and seeing whales in the bay.
And it shows how the whale populations are on the rise. They were hunted to near extinction only a few decades ago, so to see so many humpbacks and fin whales as we have seen is a really promising.
It is, there's almost too many to even record, but our survey's still going strong, and unfortunately it will be ending as we reach Rothera tomorrow. Is the excitement mountain, or are you sad to leave the ship, Ryan?
It's going to be a very strange experience to leave the ship because it's become our home, but I'm very excited to get to work and to dive.
Final question, are you cold? Because you're standing here in just a pair of trousers and you've been here for about 5 hours.
I am freezing.
But you just can't go inside because it's so good. Pete, how are you feeling about leaving the JCR?
Oh, I'm a bit worried now. I've kind of become institutionalised.
Yeah, the days do go really quickly. When we had our first interview, you said you were worried about feeling like a spare part. But actually, how has that been? And have you managed to occupy your time?
Yeah, I felt like a spare part quite a lot. And then we got to Sydney, and then I got used to the job. I drove boats around, and that was really good.
So what have you been doing on the Humbers? So that's the ribs, the JCR's ribs.
So I've been prepping them in the morning, getting them out and taking the covers off and doing the checks. So that's quite cool because I have to go to the bridge and get the checklist, and then I check off everything's okay and it's got fuel and the engine starts, and then I get a radio and then we launch them over the side, which is quite good fun because you sit in them while they're hanging off the crane and then you get lowered into the water, and as soon as you hit the water you start the engine.
And is it cold when you're out at sea?
No, it hasn't been that cold. We're in these massive boat suits, so actually it's a mistake to wear too much under the boat suit because you get super hot.
Do you think this is good preparation for your job as a boating officer at Rothera?
Yeah, I think so. It's been great to drive around avoiding icebergs.
We've been organising a Secret Santa, which we'll be giving everyone in 3 days. Pete, you spent a lot of effort on yours. Can you explain to me what present you've made for Dr. Clara?
It's secret. I can't tell you that. Spoiler alert.
She's not here. She's on the bow, actually. I'm looking at her right now.
I made paper roses out of a chart that was being thrown away off the Southern Atlantic.
Clara, how do you feel about finally arriving to station? We've almost been 8 weeks at sea.
It's been an incredible life experience, for sure. It's been something that no other winter team usually gets to do, to see all the British Antarctic survey bases. So I feel very grateful and very privileged to have been able to do the voyage we've done now, but also very excited to kind of get settled into our new home. What's most exciting is actually, if you look at the charts, is this tight gap that we can just see on the horizon, where the mountains will really press in on both sides of us. And I'm very excited for it to feel very Antarctic.
Although this is the end of my passage, the James Clark Ross's crew will continue historic surveys of Antarctic territory further south before returning to Rothera in February to collect the outgoing wintering crew and summer staff. Due to the pandemic, the 2020-2021 James Clark Ross's crew were at sea for the best part of 6 months. I'd like to give a special mention to them and the Captain Graham for their high spirits and good humour, which made living on board the ship with them such a special experience, full of ample learning opportunities and the chance to appreciate a different way of living and working. And thanks to you for taking the time to listen to this three-part series about the James Clark Ross's voyage. I look forward to catching up with you next at Rothera.